by adopting a philanthropic mindset, by just being charitable, that itself can lead to wealth. That leads to great wealth, because developing an emotional detachment from money is almost job one in making good financial decisions.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, my next guest hasn't been on in a while, but we're really thrilled that he's with us now. He has a new book called Rules to Live By, Maimonides' Guide to a Wonderful Life. I'm talking about the Rabbi Jeffrey Katz. Rabbi Katz, it's been a while. It's been years since we spoke last. I'm really happy to have you on to talk about this book. Maimonides, one of the key figures in Judaism. You know, his wisdom been gone a long time, a medieval philosopher. His wisdom still lives on, and we're fortunate to have you restate and encapsulate that wisdom. What do you think? If somebody didn't look at anything in the book, they looked at one thing, what would be the best, what would be the most crucial guidance that Maimonides can offer to us who are living? You're living in a much different time. Technology, we've got, you know, all these things going on, wars all over the place. I guess that's not really different. We've always had wars all over. But the world is a much smaller place. You know, Israel, with what's going on there. But the ability to go to different places in the world, see different things. What is the one key takeaway from Maimonides that anybody could profit by almost immediately?
Yep, Carrie, it's great to be here with you. Now, Maimonides, he lived 800 years ago, but the principles he set out are so universal and so eternal. They kind of work in every age. That's why, you know, Jewish schools throughout the world, for example, as you mentioned, they're pouring over Maimonides' work like nonstop. At every major university, they're studying Maimonides because he was kind of in both worlds. He was in the physical world. He was the top doctor of his time. You know, basically personal physician to the king of Egypt, more or less, the sultan in Cairo. And also, you know, one of the greatest religious philosophers and really spiritualist who ever lived. So he really had it in both worlds. And the advice he gives, the fact that we're living in a different era, the reason he still studied throughout the world is because his ideas are still relevant. So, you know, many of the rules here that I discussed in the book, Rules to Live By, are so basic, and, you know, we'll see why. So, you know, as an example, so one of Maimonides' maxims, you know, he's famous for a lot of expressions that we use all the time, you know, like, give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. That's Maimonides. Another one of his expressions is that, you know, he points to the importance of the ability to make decisions. He says the risk of a wrong decision is preferable to the terror of indecision.
Yeah.
Now, as a practical maxim, that's an amazingly profound idea. So he's pointing to the critical importance just in leading any kind of successful life, having the ability and comfort level to make decisions. Now, decisions are not always going to be right. We're just human, and Maimonides is the first to recognize that. But just the ability to make decisions is so important. And when you combine those with a few other basic characteristics, like, for example, Maimonides says, you know, lose with truth and right rather than win with falsehood and wrong. So he points to another basic quality, truthfulness. Like, I mean, in politics today, in the politics riveting the country into two, it's mostly a function of the fact that, you know, on both sides of the aisle, people, you know, politicians like telling you transparency is not really the order of the day, you know, in that field. you know, all of the problems we have, the biggest problems we have, how we're going to fund all these entitlements, next generation. Nobody discusses them. They pretend they don't exist because there's a lack of transparency. It may be good, you know, to fool people for the short term. But what does that really say in terms of one's integrity and the basic, whether people really are going to want to deal with you? So these basic character traits he points to and talks about how we need to work on, like the ability to be comfortable making decisions, being always truthful and trustworthy, being reliable. If someone just has those characteristics, they've already set themselves head and shoulders apart all of their competition. I mean, among other things, in any career, that person is going to skyrocket to the top of his organization, almost regardless of his IQ, regardless of his skill set. Just those basic traits of being able to make decisions, being reliable, being a trustworthy person, just those traits, you've set yourself so far beyond your peers that you're going to skyrocket in almost every any business, any sphere of yours, personal or professional, relationships with your family and friends. And that was true when he lived all those years ago, and it's true today, and will probably always be true, as an example.
So that the thing, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day, teach a man a fish, feed him for a lifetime. I heard an update of that. Give a man a gun and he can rob a bank. Give a man a bank and he can rob the world.
Oh, that's a good one. That is terrific.
I wish I made it up. But seriously, so we're talking about integrity, true to oneself and true to others, and something that's totally devoid from all of our institutions, be they the World Health Organization, the CBDC, the Infectious Disease Department, everything seems to be corrupted. Our corporations corrupted the highest level. So how does Maimonides' wisdom help us deal with that?
Yeah. Well, again, one of Maimonides' principles is that let what's on your tongue be the same as what's in your heart and on your mind. And that's also, that goes to the basic trait of truthfulness and reliability. And again, it's going to be, who are the kind of people that other people are going to want to deal with, both personally and professionally? You know, you take like all these organizations, they're supposed to be kind of nonprofit, more or less, organizations there for the good of humanity, kind of like the idea of philanthropy, but in some ways, they've turned those ideas on their head, and they've become, you know, avenues of crony capitalism and just cronyism generally, working for the benefit, you know, not of everybody. Philanthropy, you know, Maimonides talked a lot about charity. And again, we talked about the give and or teach a man to fish example, but there's so much else to it because, you know, people think of philanthropy that you become rich and then you go to philanthropy. Really, Maimonides points out it's really the opposite is the process. By adopting a philanthropic mindset, by just being charitable, that itself can lead to wealth. That leads to great wealth because developing an emotional detachment from money is almost job one in making good financial decisions. If you're too emotionally tied up with your money, you will never be able to become, you know, a person of means because you have to spend money to make money. If you're too close to it, you'll never make good financial decisions. The top surgeon will never operate on his or her own child because they know they're just too close to the situation. They can't make good decisions. So basically, by adopting a philanthropic mindset, even if you don't particularly have too much money, everyone can give something, some of the time, energy, whatever little means he has. By adopting a philanthropic mindset and developing that emotional detachment for money, you're really then off to the races and you can make excellent financial decisions, including a million other positives. You know, firstly, you get involved in causes where you're donating your time and energy to. You meet all kinds of people. The network you wind up developing can wind up giving so many opportunities you never could have dreamt about. By participating in some kind of worthwhile cause, you develop operational skills and managerial skills. You learn how to operate a budget, all of the skills that businesses will die for. So again, by having a charitable mindset, that itself more leads to affluence and wealth rather than the other way around. So it's actually so fascinating how that works in practice.
Right. Okay. So tell us, I guess you've worked with people on these principles and helped bring them into their lives. Can you tell us some success stories here?
Yeah, sure. One thing I do want to mention first is, you know, Maimonides felt, again, he was great in the physical realm and man of science, but he was also an amazing spiritualist, and he shows us how to develop a link to God. And he says that that's through the mind. By thinking correct thoughts about God, you create a tunnel up from your mind up to God. And it's through that tunnel that God also looks down on you and provides for you and watches over you. It's through that tunnel that divine providence occurs. God can give you ideas in that way. There is a divine overflow, an overflowing abundance of ideas and wisdom and love that is emanating from God at all times. But we have to tune ourselves. It's like a radio. If you're not tuned properly, you're not going to pick up anything. If you are tuned properly, you're going to pick up a lot. And you pick up that tuning by removing the static. What's the static? That's all the negative, the envy, the grudges, the reactivity, the anger. You give up all that, and then you will see the signposts that lead you to your best direction. And they become so clear to you at that time. But the only way you can then see them, see those signposts ahead for your life, is by first removing all of that static and all of those distractions. You know, I myself, Gary, I stumbled onto Maimonides' wisdom. I was a teenager, and I was actually going home for one Passover, and my father just dropped this book about Maimonides on the dining room table. It was very typical of his strategy not to tell me directly to read something, but he would just kind of leave it lying around. And I kind of discovered that, and I saw that the earth-shaking and profound wisdom of that was really incredible. It's really, you know, Maimonides had a very hard life. In the first half of his life, he was running away from basically religious fanatic. The Almohads, which were an extremist Islamic sect, took over Spain when he was a boy. So the first half of his life, he basically just was running through jungles, through forests, trying to escape. You know, and half of his writings were done in those escapes. And he even says, you know, if you see a little effort here, you should know that I'm on a boat with other people. We're trying to run away. It's not the optimal writing condition. So you see little errors here. They're all my fault. Don't think they're anyone else's fault. But you have to understand the circumstances I'm in. But he felt a need to write about these things and share his wisdom. He said that if I don't share these things I've discovered, then these ideas are going to die with me, he said, and I'd be like I'm denying someone his or her rightful inheritance. And he said, I don't want to do that. I want people to have this knowledge that they need to be successful in these different areas. And in my own small way, because I've spent my life working in this area, and again, teaching and instructing a lot of people about this, I felt also a need to share these ideas with people, you know, especially in this day and age when, you know, people seem to be abandoning wholesale a lot of ideas that have worked pretty well. Some ideas have not. It's good to replace those. But, you know, many ideas that work for people and for society are ideas that it took us hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, to develop, to think that we're going to throw them all away and come up, replace them entirely with a new set of ideas now, and that they're all going to work great. I mean, the odds of that working are really zero. So we do need to go back to some ideas from the past that the great mind that are tried and true and that have worked, and allow them to, you know, give us what we really deserve out of life and let them turn our lives around.
Yeah, well, I can see your point there. And, you know, certain wisdom is universal and applies now like it did thousands of years ago. And we see evidence of that all around. All right. Well, hey, tell us, where do we find your book? How do we connect with you on the web, Rabbi Katz?
Great. Thanks. So the book is available everywhere. Rules to Live By, Maimonides' Guide to a Wonderful Life by me, Rabbi Jeffrey Katz. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, really everywhere books are sold. And if the viewers go on Amazon, they can get into the book and get a lot of information about me through those links.
All right. Well, we appreciate it. If you got a question for Rabbi Katz or myself, shoot me an email, kl@carrielutz.com. Link in the show notes to his site and to the Amazon bookseller page. And hey, when you're in financialsurvivalnetwork.com, please sign up for your free newsletter. Rabbi Katz, always a pleasure. Thanks so much and great luck with the book.
Thank you so much, Carrie. It's great being here with you.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.